Welcome back to RBKD. It's the Bat Tuesday edition of RBKD. We play songs from our sister station, The Bat 105.3. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Davis in the Twitterverse. Man, Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01 and Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. He's also the DJ for our Bat Tuesdays and all of our theme shows. So you can either complain to him or compliment him on his taste. Who is this, Patrick?
This is Billy Squire.
Billy, what did I say?
Billy Squire.
Squire, okay.
You've probably heard the song. It's actually not one of my favorite ones.
I don't know if I've heard of Billy Squire before.
That's what I wouldn't have told you it was Billy Squire.
I didn't know if I've heard of Billy Squire before.
Okay, but maybe this song you've heard of.
Is it? Maybe.
Maybe not, actually.
I don't know if I've heard this song before.
He's got like The Stroke. Lonely as the Night.
The Stroke.
My Kind of Lover.
Yeah.
My Kind of Lover sounds familiar.
You've heard that.
My Kind of Lover sounds familiar. Yeah. Maybe that's where I would know Billy Squire. But I like expanding my horizons either way, so I appreciate that. All right. We got a couple of items to get to here in the 4 o'clock. Interesting article put together. I give Longhorns Wire some credit. They put together an article of the transfer players that Texas acquired this season. And because 247 Sports actually ranks all the players in the transfer portal, they actually went and essentially looked at all the rankings for the transfer portal acquisitions for the Longhorns and saw where they were ranked in the 247 Sports transfer portal rankings, which is a combination of what their recruiting ranking was and then also what they've accomplished at the college level. It's a little bit of a composite or combination,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. But they do a good job over there. I mean, nobody else is doing it.
No, they always have, especially at times like right now, they always have some interesting stuff if you're a Texas fan. Just check out. They do a good job.
No, they do a good job over there. And, of course, my man Jeff Howe, who's family over here at the Horn, he also, of Light the Tower, he also works for my friends at Horns 24/7, does a great job. So 24/7 Sports, their portal rankings, here are the rankings of the Texas transfer portal acquisitions. Quinn Ewers, he was tied for the number one ranked player in the transfer portal this round of the transfer portal, this session.
Can I guess who the other one is?
Sure.
Caleb Williams, I would think.
I would think it is. It doesn't have it here because I was wondering that too. It doesn't have it. I'm assuming it is Caleb Williams because he was ranked number one. I looked at it myself. And he was the number one player in the transfer portal at the time. So I'm assuming if you were ranked number one at any time, that they assume like you're just tied for that point. He still probably is the number one ranked player in the transfer portal right now. Is he?
Yep, that's it.
Amen. There you go. So it's him. Yeah, there you go. I'll pull it up right here. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
They are both
Jackson Dart third, Eli Ricks fourth.
Ooh, the corner.
You know where Eli Ricks is going to Bama.
Hey, I didn't realize he was fourth on that list. And you know what? That makes sense. And shout out to them for giving some love to the defense. Usually that's just quarterbacks and wideouts and stuff like that, impact offensive players. But Quinn Ewers tied for the top spot in the 24/7 Sports transfer portal rankings, a five-star player, and he has been graded out as one of the highest-graded players in the history of modern recruiting. Just for the record.
It's a lot of hype. A lot of pressure.
It's a lot of hype. There you go. It's a lot of hype.
I mean, and by the way, I say hype. I mean, look, he looks phenomenal.
He does look phenomenal.
In high school. But now you're getting to college, and we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
With Sark.
I'm optimistic.
It seems to me that if Quinn Ewers doesn't have a big splash season, a breakout season this year, well, his first year, and it's unfair, by the way, but that's just life, right? Life is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
That if he doesn't have a breakout year, then people will start to already deem him a bit of a bust.
Yeah, they will, and it'll be too soon.
Yeah, even if it's just, if he just has an average year or slightly above average year, if he doesn't have a breakout blockbuster year, you will already start to hear the haters come out and go, see? Told you, overhyped. He's just like Texas, overhyped. So just be ready for it if he doesn't meet or exceed expectations. And as you just pointed out, expectations are really high.
Super high, as they should be.
As they should be, because listen, you got X-Man. He's got a freshman All-American. right? X-Man coming back. He's also got Bijan Robinson,
yep.
who some people would argue is the best running back in the country. Not saying he is, but yep. he's in that discussion. Those are weapons that most quarterbacks around the country who are highly touted don't have.
You're right. He also has a non-Power 5 line returning. So let's not forget about that.
The G5 line, the guy coming
back. Hate to be that guy at every party, but just a little.
Is it even G5? Can I get G5 status? Is it group of five status? It can hold its own with the group of five.
It's not in the top five of the G5, but it's G5.
No.
It's
G5. Yeah, it's not SMU.
Right. No, their line was good.
SMU's
offensive
line is
better.
No, I'm not joking about that.
No, you're not. It's better than Texas.
Oh, yeah, SMU's offensive line is better than Texas. But no, I'm with you on that.
Let's remember that.
No, I totally agree.
If things fall apart again and you get injuries with some of the skill guys, you do lay it out, though. There are some skill guys that can definitely help. It's about this team. It's about Kyle Flood getting the most you can out of those five guys and then working around them.
Okay, how about this? He should have more passing touchdowns combined than Hudson Card and Casey Thompson and fewer interceptions. Can we agree with that?
Yeah, agreed.
Is that reasonable?
It's reasonable.
I haven't added up their touchdowns, but I know he should have. If he has more interceptions or as many interceptions as those guys combined, problem.
Problem.
And if he doesn't have as many touchdowns as they had combined, problem.
One thing I'm excited about is that his arm, and Hudson's arm can do this, but he had other issues. Quinn Ewers has the arm strength and the accuracy, but mainly the arm strength to truly open up every quadrant for Sark.
Yeah.
Assuming they can, once again, give them time.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, yeah, I think the playbook now, you'll get full accessibility, all right, in terms of that playbook. But also something, I mean, the truth is... You have to find a way to make plays in spite of the line. And now that Sark clearly understands the limitations of that line, there are no excuses for being surprised like you were in the Arkansas game that your offensive line underachieved and being surprised at the depth of ineptitude at times of the offensive line. You need to bake that into your game plan.
Yes, and with that lesson, don't forget, that means your defensive line is not as good as they looked when they were whipping them
in
the spring.
Bake it into the game plan. Offensive line, and we talked about this on, actually, you'll hear Longhorn Blitz tonight, so it's
nice.
A kind of random tease. We talked about this because I brought it up last year. You know, and I hate to say this about Sark, at times Sark was too much of a moderate at times last year. Remember, he kept saying, I want to win with complimentary football. I want to win. We're not playing complimentary football. Your defense is way too bad for you to play complimentary football. You can't play complimentary football when your defense is allowing 6.1 yards per play, which is tied for the most in the history of the Texas program by a Texas defense. So you can't play complimentary football. You can now build a game plan and a blueprint to win with your special teams, which was really good, one of the best in the country, and your offense, which was really good, one of the best in the country. And you need to almost make your blueprint to win and your game plan lopsided to depend on those two phases and almost to make up for your defense. Everything with your defense should be found money. Like, oh, I didn't know my defense was going to give me a turnover. That's great. But other than that, you need to be actually calling plays, and you need to be configuring your offense to score. Man, I might have to score 45 this week. It's just the reality of it. And I think last year he tried to play complimentary football a lot. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that, because I think Oklahoma State did that. Baylor
did
played
that,
complimentary
but they were
football.
Set up to do that better because they had defenses.
Exactly. They had better. They had all three phases. You only had two phases.
Right.
Can't play complimentary football with two phases.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point.
So I think this year he'll learn that lesson.
So no moderate here. Extremist here.
Yeah, you need to be Bernie, and he was trying to be, you know, like.
You need to be Bernie.
Buttigieg. You know, you need to be out there.
You need to be out there
a
little
bit
more.
Get on out there, man. I know it sounds crazy, but you know what? It'll work for you. All right, anyway, sorry. Random discussion. But transfer portal rankings, Quinn Ewers is tied or was tied for first. He's now going to Texas. Caleb Williams is the other player that was tied first there. Jaleel Billingsley, who recently committed to Texas via the transfer portal. He is 14th overall, but first at his position
number
in the transfer portal.
End.
So the number one tight end out of the transfer portal, but 14th overall, that's not bad.
Yeah, look, he's not going to be a great run blocker, so you got to scheme around that, but this guy should give you something in the passing game. And that was something this team did not have last year, and you mentioned they would go to a lot of 12 personnel, and you had a lot of tight ends out there, but you knew they were out there just to block.
Yeah.
You knew that because the offensive line wasn't very good, they needed help, but you also knew that they weren't much of a threat. And I think having them as a threat will open some things up. You should get some cheapies because of that.
Yeah, I mean, you're just thankful to have a tight end with some experience. I mean, you look at the tight ends that you had coming back, Gunnar Helm, Jatavion Sanders, Juan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got 1-2 catches between those guys combined.
I wonder if Sanders, I mean, you just stick with that, even if you think he'd be better on defense?
That's a great question.
Like,
I think it.
When do you have that conversation with him? Because you gotta massage that, especially with the portal.
No, I'm with you 100% because you wasted him this year, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He was wasted back there. And I know you can say he played special teams and he got some snaps. But
he was a 5-star.
Exactly. You're talking about a prodigy. This is a prodigy. He's not like the rest of them. He's a prodigy. So prodigies, you should put more on their plate. All right. Actually, there's a chance that you could stunt their development by not giving them more, by not having them have more responsibility because he's a guy that I think could help you this year. And he can change the position if you truly want to build certain concepts around his skill set. He can be a freak for you. And I think this year you may need his freakish ability. Can he block? I think is the big question that they want to figure out. Like, can he be an inline blocker for you?
I think that's your question right there.
Yeah. But, no, I can't wait to see what they do with Jatavion Sanders. If they don't do anything with him this year, he's transferring. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
If he's not contributing in a major way, I'm not saying starting, I don't know, but they play a lot of 12 personnel, so if he's not in the rotation of tight ends next season, he will be gone.
Right.
That is just the reality of the world we live in now in the transfer portal. So I think Sark knows that.
Sark understands that.
Sark understands. So if he ain't maybe that's why they got Billings. He's like, you know what, he ain't going to start for us because he ain't ready, and he's going to be gone. Maybe that's why they got him.
Well, and that's when you have the conversation, hey, we'd love to, you know, there's a reason you're not getting a lot of balls here on offense, but we think you're at the next level. Your spot is defense.
PK, just go steal him. And you need edge help.
Yes, I know.
And he could arguably end up a starting edge defender for you. And you just got him back there at tight end, at the, what, fourth or fifth tight end you had him last year?
Doing nothing.
Doing nothing?
All right, the next guy I'm excited about, Ryan Watts. I'm excited about the other two. And that's one thing I like about Texas. Now, they've missed on some guys, but the guys they've gotten, you know, we've talked about it. You got to be careful. And I think they're learning their lesson from last year where you just go grab someone for immediate help, and then you realize that they don't come in and actually give you that help. All these guys are ranked pretty high. Now, Ryan Watts is like at, what, 65?
He is the 65th overall player, 7th at his position, which I have him as – did I have him as a corner?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Or just a DB, I wasn't sure. I'm assuming he's a corner here. I don't know exactly where they would have him here because he's big, man. He's 6'3". Something like that, 6'2", 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big body. That's a big body at corner. So I do wonder if, I don't know, they'll experiment with him at safety. Because, you know, their safeties and their nickels at Texas, or at least last year with Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon, they work together. They essentially are a part of the same conceptual defensive backfield. They work with the same group. So I wonder if a guy like him, the size that he has, if they'll think about moving him back to safety and they can work him at DB and then move him around a little bit.
Or go positionless like you talk about a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Like with a guy like that, that may be where to start.
Hey, it probably is. So those are your three guys. We'll get to linebackers here in a second. One interesting thing on this list to show you what 1 year can do. Remember a year ago at this time, everyone was saying Spencer Rattler is going to be 1-1 in next year's draft.
Yeah.
He's 21 on this transfer portal list.
There you go. Hey.
21?
Life comes at you fast.
It does.
but you know what? He still got a chance to end up being a first-round draft pick. I know it sounds crazy to people. Just
right.
as precipitous as that fall from Grace was and that drop, if he goes out to South Carolina and just has a hell of a year, they'll be saying, you know what? This is the first-round potential we're talking about. There's a guy that once they said he was going to be the number one overall pick, and now he's showing the guts and fortitude of what it takes to be that guy. And you know how they love that kind of stuff. So he knows he has a shot, and I think he made the right move by going somewhere where he was the walk-in starter. I don't know what's around him, and I don't really know the offense that he's playing in, so I got to do some research and find out if that's going to be something that's favorable to him.
Some guys at Texas were in on. Mario Williams is 8th on this list. list. He's obviously going to USC. Drew Sanders is 9 on this list. He's going to Arkansas. And Jared Verse, who's a guy who you had mentioned a couple weeks ago, is going to Florida State. He's an edge guy, so that would have helped out. Zach Evans, if you're wondering, is
where's O'Shawn?
7 on this list.
Where's O'Shawn Mathis on there?
That's a good question.
Because I know people are really excited about him. I mean, he has delayed his decision, but he's from Central Texas. From Manor, I believe.
Yeah, Jacob Cowling's 18. I hope we don't regret that.
But, yeah, I mean, I want, because that you need an edge rusher. You still, not edge rusher, well, he's an edge rusher, but you need an edge defender, I should say. It would help that he's also an edge rusher, and O'Shawn Mathis is that guy. You didn't get Drew Sanders, and I guess it's understandable.
61.
Okay. All right. O'Shawn, man, it's crazy that he's 61. He's that far down.
I thought he'd been higher than that.
I thought he'd been higher than
two-time All Big 12. It was second team, but he's a good football player.
So that's the next one. But I love the fact that Texas had, you know, Texas got reinforcements at every level, it looks like. You know, they're trying to get reinforcements. I say at every level. They're trying to get an edge defender. They did get some reinforcements in the defensive backfield. Just talked about Ryan Watts via the transfer portal. And they're trying to get a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're trying to get multiple linebackers. I haven't figured.
They haven't given up on Harold Perkins yet, huh?
They have not. And that's the latest, is that Texas will have Harold Perkins on campus. He's going to take a visit. Actually was something that I ended up getting from our friends over at Horns 24/7, but it said that that Harold Perkins is apparently going to take a visit. Now, he's committed to the Aggies, but...
Yeah, he committed at the U.S. Army game.
Yeah, so
keep it open, beautiful.
Yeah, So I don't know how the Aggies feel about that. I don't know if he's just taking visits to take visits, but that's throwing out there now, is that Harold Perkins potentially looking to take visits to Texas in the next couple of weeks. This according to Inside Texas and On3 Network as well. So I mean, I don't know what that means, but I think they're just keeping their options open for that linebacker position because they know they need reinforcements there. There's also another report that they're looking at a UL transfer, actually, Lorenzo McCaskill. This comes from our friends at 24/7 Sports, that Lorenzo McCaskill is a raging Cajun senior linebacker that is also getting some interest from Texas because they need help at the linebacker position. So keep an eye out for that name. And also Jalen Moody.
Alabama.
Who was an Alabama linebacker, or at least former Alabama linebacker. He is in the transfer portal. And also friends over at Inside Texas, they're reporting that Moody could be taking a visit, or at least he was on a visit on campus this past weekend. So he's also one of the linebackers Texas is looking to acquire via the transfer portal. At least they have interest in the transfer portal.
They need help there.
So there's two guys in the transfer portal. One guy, Harold Perkins, who's, I mean, he's 5-star. I don't know if it's a long shot. They're just keeping their name in the conversation. He hadn't signed yet, so I guess you can still take visits if you haven't signed.
He hadn't signed yet. Now, Durkin was already set up when he committed, right? Durkin had been set up by that point.
I gotta go look the timeline. I think you're correct. Yes, I believe you are correct about that. So they haven't had a lot of players, even though they've had a lot of turnover on the coaching staff, the Aggies have, they haven't had a lot of players decommit.
No.
Or jump off that bandwagon.
They haven't.
Name, image, and likeness is a powerful thing.
They paying them.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and we paying them too.
Usually when you have a lot, you have coaching turn. And they've had like 3 different coaches leave the staff.
Yeah. One went to Oregon.
They had the defensive coordinator, Elko.
Obviously, Elko left.
Ended up taking. And I thought they had somebody else end up leaving too. But usually when you have
turnover. Offensive line coach, I believe.
I think you're right about that. Yeah. So when you usually got turnover like that, you'll get a one or two guys because it's like, man, I was really close to that coach. I really liked him opening things back up. And I know that, you know, Harold Perkins is taking a visit to Texas, but I don't think he's opening things back up. If he's taking a visit to Texas, potentially he's just probably just coming to Austin because it's a great place to go. But the fact that they haven't had a lot of decommitments is very telling. Just show you that whatever they got going, whatever name, image, and likeness deals they configured or whatever sales pitch they got, it works. It's working really well for them.
Yeah, it's working well. If you're Texas, we know that they're obviously going after linebackers. They should. You hope you get Mathis, which will help out the edge. Would have loved to get Sanders and Mathis, but you got to go get Mathis. What's more important to you guys? Filling a need in the offensive line or the secondary?
O-line would probably, for me.
Me too.
Would be a little bit more.
I still want to hit the secondary.
Yeah, you want the secondary too, but
you know, you can still get burned even if you put some guys in the secondary. But you, if you don't have an O-line, you're fighting from behind every chance.
Yeah. We both were bad last year. The offensive line was the unit that looked
and
the most off.
You got Bijan Robinson and Quinn Ewers. You kind of need to protect those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at the Texas offensive line in terms of how they performed versus, I say subpar competition, but I mean, they were 5-7. but it actually graded out a little bit better than you think overall. But considering how I think you need to win games, and I brought this up earlier, you got to be an extremist with your offensive game plan. I would try to improve and upgrade the offensive line as much as I can. And I don't know how much you can do that, honestly. It's considering where you're coming from, I don't know how fast you can improve them to be, middle of the road in college football.
That's the problem, too, is that you don't get a bunch of these guys. There was the Oregon kid who committed to BYU, the Polynesian kid, who was he's actually one of the top in the top 10 in this. But
there you go.
It's not wide receivers where you've got a lot of different options. You know, you get a lot of kind of jags, linemen that enter the portal.
Yeah, not a lot of Calvin Andersons out there. No. You know, Texas got one. And, yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. It's hard to find those guys because when you find an offensive lineman that's competent, you don't let them leave your program.
No.
They don't leave.
No. And if he does, you see these guys going to big-time spots right away. In fact, Alabama is an offensive lineman, but Alabama has two of the top six guys on this list that are headed to Bama, including Ricks, who we mentioned.
Man.
And then a running back, Jahmyr Gibbs. Finally, that running back room is going to be open. It hadn't been open in years.
Yeah, see, Alabama, I mean, no matter how you play the game, they can win it.
Right.
No matter how you're playing it. If the transfer portal game, they can win that
game. Transfer portal's going to hit them, but it's also going to help
them. It's going to help them just as much, if not more, than it hurts them.
All right, some Texas football there. We'll get back to Texas football actually coming up at 6 o'clock. Some spring battles to watch for at UT. One and done coming up next. I'll give some love, quick love to the baseball team, and then we'll talk about a former baseball player who a lot of people would say is a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback. Where is he going to be next year?
Like that five-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Hey, let's go one and done in Texas basketball tonight. We need a W, boys. Texas looking to go 4-2 in conference play. 7:30 tip at the Irwin Center. Y'all that are going, get loud and have some fun. It should be a fun spring here in Austin with the Texas baseball team. We've seen multiple outlets rank them preseason number one. D1 Baseball, who I know Dustin McComas, who knows about as much baseball, I think, as anyone I know. He does some stuff with them. That's obviously Kendall Rogers and then Mike Rooney. They got a good team. And they've got Texas, Rod, as their number one team in the preseason top 25. Very much an SEC feel to the top five, because we can even throw Texas in there. They're going to be in the SEC.
Damn.
At some point. Arkansas 2, Vandy 3.
It's all SEC.
Yeah, Mississippi State 4, and Ole Miss 5. So, yeah.
If you think of Texas as an SEC team, it's all SEC.
There you go. It's all SEC right there. But, Rod, I mean, this is one of those. You were on a couple teams like this. You were on a team that was really close to playing for a national championship, and because y'all didn't win the Big 12, but more importantly because you didn't play for the whole thing, you know, most teams would have said that's a hell of a year. Y'all were disappointed, though.
Disappointment,
man. And that's what this is. That's the expectations we have here. This is getting to Omaha, and I hate to say this. Look, even though Texas has been a million times, I still, because there's so much more competition in college baseball now, if you get to Omaha, then you did your job.
Yeah.
But it's definitely Omaha or bust. And a lot of these Texas baseball fans that I know, the UT Georges of the world, are saying, no, you actually need to go and do something. You can't expect to win it all, but go win a couple games and compete for this thing like they did last year.
That's fun when you get to that point when some of these guys have been a part of the process building up to that. And I remember 2001 and 2002 were our years, or at least my years, where I thought, we should have been able to compete for national titles, not just a Big 12 title.
You were close.
We should have been able to compete for national titles. But I agree with you. And for these guys, it's unfortunate because they won't be able to brag about, you know what, man, we had a great year, man, like we did. We won 11 games, but we don't talk about it like that amongst each other.
No.
When we talk about it with each other,
should've,
we talk about,
would've, could've.
Boom, like we should have beat OU, and we should have played in the BCS game.
You should have beat Colorado.
Because we were that good.
Yeah.
We were that good.
Right.
Yeah, so it's, and now you know what, it's fine to talk about the good old days and how things are great, but if you underachieve and don't get to the big dance, yeah, you'll be talking about disappointment for the next 20, 30 years. That's just the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you from a guy who knows it up close and personal.
Lots of expectations, but that's why they're playing baseball at Texas.
Exactly, why you came to Texas.
Like, you knew
that's
that.
That's the whole point.
You knew when you came they had been to Omaha more than anyone. You knew the expectations.
That's exactly right.
And they're going to actually get a test early. They got Tennessee, who's in the top 20, LSU, who's in the top 10, and then obviously Tech, TCU, and Oklahoma State are going to be really good. Oklahoma State is 7 on this list, Tech 14, and TCU 17. All right, let's get to the guy who used to play baseball. You guys remember Russell Wilson? He was a baseball player.
I do remember that. And I remember he went to a couple of spring trainings, right?
Yeah.
And I know he was just doing it, I don't know, probably for some promotional marketing reason. But, yeah, he went to a couple of spring trainings, claims he loved it.
Yeah.
Hell, Kyler Murray probably wishes last night. He probably at one point was thinking to himself, damn it.
Speaking of our boy Dustin McComas, he had a funny tweet during the game. He said, Kyler Murray, the A's have actually optioned Kyler Murray to AA.
They've been like, you know, that performance was so bad. Yeah, you're going to have to start down, yeah, brother.
That,
yeah,
pick,
you got to work
six,
your way back up.
That's not good, man. Not good. But really, you know, so Russell Wilson was on the Manning cast last night. They had an agreement where they were not going to ask him about the situation.
Yeah.
And there definitely is a situation. He's been classy about it, but there are enough reports that he really wants to go test the market a little bit. And my guess is he's not going to be in Seattle next year, man.
You don't think so? Will Pete Carroll be there? What do you think?
No, I don't
think
so either.
They'll both be
gone? I can see.
I know. That's interesting, right?
It is.
I think nobody's talked about the GM, so Schneider will be there. I wonder if he starts over from scratch. Because if I lose Russell Wilson, yeah, I think I might. I don't know if I want to keep Pete Carroll around if I lose Russell Wilson.
No, and Wilson is still under contract in Seattle.
Yeah, but they would trade him.
They would trade him.
Because if they're going to start over, they would need to trade Russell Wilson to start. They get the pieces to rebuild.
I think you just answered the question right there. If they end up going through with this and end up trading Russell Wilson, then you move on.
You have to.
Right.
Yeah, you can't let Pete Carroll be the architect of the rebuild.
Unless you want to use Pete Carroll as your David Culley. For 1 year.
Oh, you know what? You know what? That's not bad. You got a veteran coach who can work through, and he has street cred with the people. So when you go through some bad stretches and you're losing and it's ugly, he'll have some goodwill with the people. No, that's not a bad idea, actually.
So there
that's
was not a bad idea. There was a list that was leaked of three teams that he would prefer to go to. I mean, look, they were 4-8 last year.
He's got no trade clause.
He's looking at his future and how much time he has left, and he wants to go win right now. So this one we actually hear with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Denver is set up to win right now. Denver needs a quarterback. And if I'm Russell Wilson or if I'm Rodgers and I'm looking to go, that's the spot I'm looking to go to.
Just like Peyton Manning, huh?
Just like
Peyton
Manning.
History repeating itself?
Just like Peyton Manning.
Okay, this is my thing. Because there's going to be a new ownership group potentially there at one point.
Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler. You got spots.
You do have spots. Yeah.
Didn't think of Noah.
No, you got. I mean, the word on the street is if they bring in Aaron Rodgers, they're going to bring in Devontae Adams too.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be a free agent at wide receiver.
What about the Saints for Russell Wilson?
I love that even more because they got an offensive mind to pair up with him in
Sean Payton.
I think that's more important than the infrastructure Denver has built is that you pair him up with a head coach who's a proven commodity like Sean Payton.
Right, and it would also be, you know, that they've rebuilt that offensive line to a point where you can protect him. They can add some pieces around. New Orleans is not that far away. It feels like they're so far away because what they have at quarterback.
Defense is still good.
Mm-hmm. And Michael Thomas missed all this year. If he comes back and be healthy, you add another top wide receiver again, too.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Giants are on this list.
I don't see that.
No.
No.
Now, is that just him in trying to get to that media market.
Yeah, but I thought he
looking
wanted to...
looking at the next step, and it's really not about trying to finish off with a dub.
I thought he wanted to play for a contender, though. Oh, that was the whole thing.
That's what I thought, too.
If that's the case in just a media market, I mean, I guess, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if they're going to take time to build that thing.
They will.
In New York.
Wilson is 33, and so Seattle does feel like they're about to hit a full rebuild or some type of rebuild. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen these quarterbacks play for up until their 40s. We'll see if Russell Wilson does that. But, man, the Saints and Denver do make a lot of sense for this guy. And in Denver especially, with those weapons, man, Denver could be a damn good football team next year if they just had a quarterback.
No, they could. I mean, right now it seems like the Aaron Rodgers rumors and whispers have him landing, you know, potentially in Denver.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been saying that.
Seattle is also lacking with draft capital. They don't have their first-round pick in 2021. That was because of Jamal Adams. So trading him, I mean, you know, if you are looking to rebuild, they need first-round picks.
Hey, dude, Jamal Adams is basically a linebacker now, too.
Right.
And basically, they gave up all that. The way they use him, he's a linebacker.
Yeah. He can't cover.
As I'm saying, he can't cover, so they use him as a linebacker. So think about trading all those picks and signing the contract for a linebacker. Because that's what they did.
Right. And it's not Micah Parsons.
And exactly. Not one you could move around the front and everything.
Two other options here that, and it's funny because, I mean, there are a ton of articles about this and you've got a lot of differing opinions. That list is something that obviously would point to what Russell Wilson wants. What about Philadelphia? Philadelphia has 3 first round picks this draft.
That's true.
I mean, if you could get him to sign off on that.
Got a wide receiver, too.
Got a wide receiver.
Taysom Hill.
And, look, the Jalen Hurts experiment, I guess, could still go on. But
you could trade Jalen, though.
You could trade him with that.
For a Britain team, he's a bridge.
He's a bridge for Seattle.
That's a nice trade.
As they completely rebuild. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to happen, y'all. I don't think Russell Wilson is back next year.
No.
In Seattle.
What about another team, Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh's
a playoff team, needs a quarterback.
That's sexy.
So guess what?
Tomlin.
Pittsburgh Gazette, I think it was Gazette, had an article on that saying, hey, why not Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Juju.
I mean, you know that window's not still fully open, but you're like, hey, get us a couple more years, see what happens.
I like that. Juju and Najee.
Juju and Najee.
And you know, the offensive line's, it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Still got Chris Claypool there too.
Right.
No, I like that. Yeah.
And if you're Denver and looking at this and you got Rodgers who has less time but is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, you take Rodgers, right?
Yeah, you take Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean,
because I know you love Russell Wilson.
Both of those guys are elite, but, you know, there's still
some separation.
Yeah. Even inside the VIP, there is still another room. the room that the VIPs among the VIPs that you're going to, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
Sorry, sir. This is where the road ends.
Exactly.
Trust me, you're in a much better spot than all the other schlubs.
Were you an MVP voting this year, Russell?
Your seat's over there.
Do you know he's never gotten an MVP vote?
No.
Not ever? One?
Not
which is
one.
Which is stupid.
He's never gotten one MVP vote.
That's crazy, but at the same point, well, if you're going against a guy who's just won MVP, could technically win another one this year.
Yeah. No. He's not gotten one MVP vote ever. It's crazy.
That is crazy because there are a couple of those years where he obviously. I'm not saying he should have won the MVP. You get a couple votes.
Right? What's happening in Seattle? No one in the Northeast.
Right.
It's so weird. Yeah, that is a very weird little fact. Yeah.
It is. All right. Let's get to another quarterback and off the record. He's not nearly as good as Russell Wilson, but damn, this guy looks like he'd be fun to hang out with.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And I got a couple of stories that I want to get into here. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, that Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Pimp Patrick, he's been called at times. Fitzmagic, he's been called.
Yeah.
He's cool enough. He's got multiple nicknames. And he's actually now got more street cred with the people. And he's probably going to come up with, or probably they'll come up with some more cooler nicknames for him. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick was caught on video by multiple tweeps, people on Twitter and on social media, on Instagram as well, posting these pictures of Ryan Fitzpatrick shirtless sitting with a gin pop. Nope, not in the sky boxes. This is a Ivy League dude. What is he, Harvard?
Harvard.
Ivy League. All right, one of the highest Wonderlic scorers in the history of the NFL. He's got millions because he signed multiple deals, so he can sit up in the sky box if you want to. I'm sure he's got friends still with the Buffalo Bills.
He's made $82 million.
Oh, is that a real
career
number?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's made more than Nick Foles.
Damn, I didn't realize he was bringing in that much, but it makes sense, though, because he's probably signed like three or four deals.
Uh-huh.
And then they're not major blockbuster deals, but they're still damn good.
It's such a great industry to be average.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Because he's what? How old is he? 38? Is he 40? Fitzmagic is pretty old, guys.
I bet you he's pretty good with his money, too. He doesn't seem like a guy who's blowing everything at Cheesecake Factory.
But he's got probably going on two decades in the league.
39, good call, right?
Yeah, so he's going on two decades in the league. But is he with anybody now, or did he retire? I don't know.
He was with Washington this year and then got hurt, right?
He got hurt.
So I think he's still with Washington.
So I wonder there you go.
But obviously,
He spent time in Buffalo, so he's got a lot of fans there, and he's got some street cred there. But he was shirtless, gentlemen. And it was in the
zero
teens. It was I think it was like 6 degrees or something
That's crazy.
And he was, so even
now, does have a God-made sweater to deal with this.
He does have the
solid beard,
the chest fro,
and the beard.
It's got the chest fro working. It's got a lot of taco meat on the chest there working out.
Taco meat.
But he's hanging out with the fans, and the fans love him. Yeah. I mean, he's a legend.
Can you imagine
among Buffalo
that
Bills fans?
If you're at that game and you see Ryan Fitzpatrick with his shirt off,
just hanging out,
you don't
in
think
the
it's
stands.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, right?
No,
looks a lot like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's exactly what you'd say.
Yeah, no, I think some people probably did have that reaction, but no, it was him.
He took some pictures.
It was multiple people hanging out with him, and he encouraged some other people to go shirtless like he did. That's legendary stuff, gentlemen. Something like that. You get a lot of street cred.
Now he just
needs
to go through the folding table, and he'll be good to go.
Oh, with the Bills Mafia?
The Bills Mafia.
You know what, man? If he goes out there with the Bills Mafia, that's a different – because those people put their health and their well-being
right
at jeopardy every time they go out there, and they go wrestling WWE style. They're jumping off of trucks and jumping off of vans onto chairs and tables.
It is so
with elbows.
It is so idiotic.
It is, but it's awesome.
That might void a contract in the NFL, too.
Yeah,
that
right.
is very true. He won't be playing those two decades I was talking about if he does that.
Hey, did you see? Did you guys see The Rock last night?
I didn't watch it live.
Okay. Did you see what was in the background?
Yes. And I saw him casually address it.
Right.
Wow.
Now, talk about some career earnings.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I love that he took a pull off the bottle after that interception.
Yes, that was fantastic.
When the game was over, he just, because he was had a drink, and then he just pulled the bottle and took a swig off
right.
of it. And I think it's his. Like, I think he owns his own tequila,
yeah.
right? So it's probably he owns that company.
The man knows how to promote stuff. For those who don't know, he did have a Manning cast interview, and in the back, I guess he did it in the studio, and he had a T-Rex, basically a T-Rex skull. In the background of his office. It was casually just by the bookcase.
Just hanging out
Just hanging out there by the line or whatever it was.
You think like, oh, it is a replica T-Rex skull. You'd be like, oh yeah, that's a piece of art. And then he says, no, that is an actual T-Rex skull.
Actual T-Rex skull.
And I think he's like, it's the biggest one they've ever found.
Yeah,
it's something to that, and he goes, pretty cool, huh?
What did he pay for that?
Apparently, and I don't know if the story, some people are speculating that it could be worth upwards of, like $10 million or $10 to $30 million. Nobody knows exactly, right? Because we don't know where the hell he got it from and everything like that. But back in October of 2020, a man named Stan Sackerson, he found something in South Dakota which turned out to be a T-Rex skull. It was named Stan after the man who found it, and this was in Smithsonian Magazine. The T-Rex was just sold for a record-breaking amount, opening a new chapter in ongoing tussle between academics, commercial dealers, and landowners, all based in foundational questions about fossils and where they belong and where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
No one was expecting Stan to sell for so much. The famous Tyrannosaurus Rex specimen went at auction for $31.8 million.
And that's what people were thinking.
On October 6th.
That's him.
That's more than twice. Yes, exactly.
Anonymous buyer.
That's more than twice the adjusted value of Sue, the most complete T-Rex yet found, was sold for $8.3 million in 1997. To date, Stan's buyer hasn't been announced, nor has it been made clear whether the skeleton will end up at a museum like Sue did. The idea that Stan may wind up as a curio in someone's house or home has been a persistent worry of paleontologists, as it seems that every year another significant skeleton goes to auction and then the public never has access to it.
Man, this is tricky because they should be in a museum, but I'm also free market. And if you own something, then
you can afford it.
I mean, selling it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's cool to put it in a museum, but if you've got one, I don't know. I don't know. I don't go to museums very much.
Yeah.
Look,
but you also don't go to these people's houses either.
No, but I saw it on the Manning Cast, and that was more likely to see it there than me going to a museum in my adult life.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if The Rock did, but let's see what The Rock's worth is. Right now, there are some people
saying
The Rock's worth could be upwards of $400 million.
Okay. So
yeah, he's been the highest paid actor in Hollywood for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, he makes more than $20 million per movie is what some speculate.
And he's got another one coming out, which he was promoting.
And he makes a lot of movies.
Yeah.
The man is prolific.
So, very prolific.
Yeah, The Rock's got a lot of cash, man. That's just his movie career. He was also a very successful wrestler as well and had a great wrestling career. So,
and the coolest thing about him is he played for the U.
That's like the least successful thing he's done.
It definitely is that. But it's the coolest thing for people like me.
Like, it's really cool, but like it's not that one thing is like, I didn't quite become the best at that. He's been the best wrestler and the best. He's not the, I want to say he's the most, I think in terms of generating revenue, he is the highest generating revenue Hollywood celebrity right now in terms of the big screen. The movie stars, that kind of stuff.
So did you guys see quickly here when The Rock was on, that Peyton Manning coming back from a commercial break didn't know his mic was hot and dropped an S-bomb? Now I'm starting to think they're doing this on purpose.
I didn't hear that. What was
it
about?
We got Eli shooting the finger. We had Marshawn Lynch on there. We had Pat McAfee who was dropping bombs. And he just goes, he said, OS. Like he didn't, or he said something with it, but he definitely.
Yeah, he was saying a thing and then went, no, wait, never mind.
Yep.
Right after he did
and
it.
And they jumped right in.
But I don't get, how do you not have a delay on this show yet?
I don't know.
It seems like at some point you'd be like, hey, are we having this every week? So you won't put one person on a delay?
Right. Well, it's tricky because you're trying to match it up with the actual broadcast. You don't want to be too far behind.
Yeah, but come on. Point.
Yeah.
Still, you can put a delay on it. But yeah, I think they want it. I mean, now they're saying that, Amazon Prime wants to get Marshawn Lynch to do one.
Oh, wow.
They want him to do his own thing, but it'll be on Prime so he can drink and cuss and do whatever he wants because it wouldn't be on TV. But that was one of the talks of there's all these people now trying to recreate that.
Be careful what you ask
for. I'll say, you think you want that.
Oh, no, I don't think I want that. I know they are talking about it.
Right.
They think they want that. They don't want that.
Patrick, you're out of here. Going to the drum.
Yeah.
I want you to play some defense. I want you to get the offense going a little bit.
You just want me to stare blankly at the most.
That's exactly what I want.
Get the O going.
Patrick's out. We're two in. We got two to go. We are leading up to Texas basketball tonight. This is RB Katie and the Horn.